On air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us is a frequent guest of ours, Jonathan Steinberg, who represents a district in Westport. He's going for re-election as a Democrat this fall. Jonathan, thank you so much for being so accessible as chair of the Public Health Committee during this pandemic. What is the number of your district? I always forget. What is it?
The 136. Not the most constituent either, so...
Oh, good. Okay, good. Okay. But you're not actually, even though I live in Westport, I don't think you're, I don't, wait, do I? I think maybe I do vote for you. I think so.
Lisa, I'm very not embarrassed vote, you know what I'm to saying. Learn I, that I, you don't know whether or not. You
right?
Need to check into
I'm pretty
that.
Sure that I know. No, because the other one would have been Gail Laviels, right? Those are the two in Westport.
Yeah.
So definitely you're my district. Definitely, definitely. What am I saying? Definitely,
okay,
definitely.
Good.
Anyway, and when I say, quote, I vote for you, I don't mean that. I don't want my listeners to think that I ever disclose who I vote for because I never do. So I want to be very clear to not have anything taken out of context. What I mean is that you're on the ballot in my home. That's what I meant. Exactly. All right. So, Jonathan, I got to ask you something straight away because this is a topic that is getting increasingly controversial and talked about. There is a bill number 5132, an act concerning the reorganization of the Zoning Enabling Act and the promotion of municipal compliance. If that comes before you, will you be voting for or against the act? And there's another one, I think, accompanying it, part of a policy agenda to have the state exert more control over zoning and taking it away from complete local control. What do you think about that, Jonathan Steinberg?
Certainly, those bills are very controversial, and they're hardly the first ones that have come forward to basically promote the same concept of state involvement, to put it kindly, in local zoning issues. And I think it's well-intentioned. It's intended to redress some inequities in our state, which is actually very diverse for a small state. But I don't think it's necessarily very well thought through. I think that local control of these zoning issues remains very important. And whereas I think that there can be greater conversation and collaboration between state entities and local governmental officials, ultimately, that decision should rest with the communities. You know, Westport has often been targeted as a community that hasn't done enough, and I contend with that characterization. In recent years, not only have we achieved an 830G affordable housing moratorium, we have created a lot more diversity in appropriate places that are consistent with smart growth principles, where we have the infrastructure, like along the Post Road. So, I think that the state should be focused on creating incentives for more inclusionary zoning and more creative zoning options that make it affordable for young people to come back to our town after college, for elderly people to retire here without their large homes, and for a little bit more diversity than we have now. And I think we're doing those things. So I am, having been a veteran of the state legislature for 10 years, I'm always wary about one-size-fits-all top-down solutions that the state seeks to impose, no matter how well-intentioned.
And so one of the things I think one of the other bills wants to do is they want to remove from all local zoning codes the idea of being able to take into account the character of the community. It's a very specific phrase. They don't like it, and it's actually in a specific bill to be removed. So am I hearing from you that you would vote against that?
You know, character is a very subjective term, and it's thrown about with very different meanings by different people. It's virtually in the eye of the beholder. But the underlying concept is very important that, we move to certain communities because we cherish what these communities offer us. I think Westport's a perfect example of that. And the problem is when you try to deal with something like character in a state statute, it is just rife with potentials for confusion and interpretation and ends up in the courts. It's a real mess. So, you know, when it comes to whether or not character should be involved in how one zones an area, I find that problematic in the first place. But eliminating it as something that we could even consider is also problematic. I have to say I'm very conflicted about it. I think that focusing on character fails to really give attention to the more obvious and pragmatic ways in which we can create zoning that would encourage greater diversity. So, you know, I'm not saying that the whole character issue is a red herring. It's very important to a lot of folks, but it's not the focus we should be having. And if the state thinks that that's what's most important, they're not understanding the needs of a lot of our suburban communities.
So we're chatting with Jonathan Steinberg, 203-333-9422. So what, I don't want to paraphrase or put words in your mouth. Am I hearing that you would be voting against these bills if they're raised in the next legislature?
You know, I've seen bills that I could support, and I've seen bills that I was very negative about. I've actually voted for a bill that wasn't related to 830G, but did contend with the character word. I'm very wary of these bills going forward. I'd have to see the specific language. The reason they have not passed is because they've constantly been problematic, that they don't work for all the communities in our state. So, you know, it's very hard for me to commit to prejudging, because the way the character has been used in these potential bills has varied widely from bill to bill. Hard to predict.
I see.
The bill you mentioned didn't move forward for both pandemic, but also because it was problematic and it remains problematic. So certainly I'm not going to commit to be for or against it. I'm not trying to waffle as much as saying this is the way legislation is written. The words matter. The context matter. Consequences matter. We discovered that with the police reform bill. We discovered that with the bill the House passed last night related to the what I call the Punish Eversource Act. There are things that are in that bill that were done very quickly that we're going to probably have to tinker with in the next session. So complicated, long-winded answer to your question, which is basically character is not what I'm focused on when it comes to trying to improve diversity.
We're chatting with Jonathan Steinberg, 203-333-9422. What do you see as the looming issues that will face the next legislature, why you want to be part of it and get reelected in November?
You know, I ask myself that question sometimes. You know, 10 years in the legislature and virtually all that time, I was dealing with budget deficits and wrenching decisions about cutting programs that were effective and really were the only supports for a lot of our most vulnerable. And here we are again with even more vulnerable people. So certainly the budget and making good decisions on how to balance the budget, but also meet the needs of people who are really hurting right now. So obviously when you talk about the budget, you're also talking about economic impacts and getting people back to work. And I'm focused on trying to work on a jobs plan to actually fix a lot of our infrastructure that's deteriorating, transportation, energy, the grid, water infrastructure, wastewater, all those kind of you know, pipes and things are all ancient. You know, our state is very vintage in some fashion.
Mm.
So those things are going to be front and center. And obviously,
I
as
like
chair
that.
Of the Public
vintage.
Health Committee.
Yeah, vintage meaning old, right?
As chair
I get
of the Public
it.
Health
but
Committee.
But charming.
The health
but
care
charming. Issues
are going to go forward.
Yes. Yeah, the health. Okay. I was just going to ask you something about that, but I just a second lost my train of thought because I was thinking about something else.
Well, while you're thinking, yesterday, the other thing I would talk about is that we still need to address the whole electric utility grid regulation. We did.
I was just going to ask you about the special session yesterday. So what happened? What happened?
Well, I think we did some good things. The most important was the ability for registrars or voters to open outer envelopes on all the ballots we're going to be receiving and organizing them, so that they can be quickly opened and tabulated on election day and hopefully mean that for the majority of towns, they'll know the full results of the local elections same day, hopefully by within a couple hours of the closing of the polls. You know, it's important for us to be able to give people answers on how the voting has turned out as quickly as possible. I know our Secretary of the State, Denise Merrill, is working very hard to make sure that we're going to have safe and fair elections.
Jonathan, hold on. Are you telling me that during election day, during the day, not at the end of the day, the envelopes are going to be opened and they're going to start to count who won?
Yes, they can start opening when the poll's opening.
You're not worried about that? You're not worried about... Wait, let me just pause there. You're not worried that There will be early leakages, and that will disincentivize other people from voting because it's sort of like the exit polls with the media years ago, and they stopped doing the exit polls because people stopped voting because they thought the winner had already been announced. You're not worried about leaks?
Well, you know, unless this is worrying people who are still not voting in California, I'm really not worried.
No, I'm not talking about I'm talking about local. I'm not talking about presidential. I'm talking about local.
I'm not worried about it because of the safeguards we're putting in place. You know, you have to believe in the integrity of those involved in the counting of ballots. They've done it year after year after year successfully. They know what's at stake. I don't see that as a problem. I'm very concerned about the misinformation that starts with our president about the integrity of being able to handle ballots. I think that we should have great level of confidence that it's under control, the leaks will not occur, that undue influence will not be used. I think those are all red herring issues.
Okay. I wanted to ask you something else. One of the issues that keeps coming up on this program, Jonathan Steinberg, is the issue of the police accountability bill, which seems to be something that many Republicans are campaigning on throughout the state. Do you have any, and I know that you were one of the people that broke with the Democratic majority for part of it, but then ultimately ended up voting for all of it. Are you open-minded? Do you see any pathway towards changing that bill before it is fully implemented? What do you think about all of this?
A very controversial bill. Really hard for the chairs to pull this together in a matter of weeks, something as momentous as this. So by definition, there will be unintended consequences, which is why I was in favor of the amendment to postpone the implementation of what we call governmental immunity or qualified immunity, so that we could understand the ramifications to municipalities in terms of their insurance premiums and assure that officers and their families would not be devastated by this. I had a lot of reassurances from the chairs. I talked to a lot of lawyers, but I thought we needed a more deliberate approach and more time to examine it. So, yes, I would favor that. You know, the Republicans were at one point not sure they were going to bring out the amendment, and I was prepared to do it as a Democrat, which, you know, really put the spotlight on me. But I thought it was that mm-hmm. important. And we thought we were going to carry the day with the amendment, and some last minute arm twisting ended up with a 74-74 tie. But I think a bill that's consequential, and there are many good sections to this that really are going to make sure there's more oversight, that it's going to make it difficult in union negotiations to put terms in that frustrate transparency and disclosure that's appropriate for understanding where wrongdoing occurs. The vast majority of the bill will be beneficial, and I think a lot of police departments and police chiefs are okay with the vast majority of the bill. But I'm willing to bet you that we will be ending up revisiting it in the next general session when we more fully understand some of the ramifications, when further conversations with experts occur. I'd be surprised if there were not some revisions to that bill, because it's necessary. We need to get this right. We need to protect our citizens, but also protect our police who put themselves at risk. So striking that right balance, particularly when doing it so quickly, was a challenge that no one should have expected we get perfect on the first pass.
Jonathan Steinberg, what committee does that originate in? Where does that start?
Well, in this case, it started with judiciary because that's where a lot of the law goes in. But you can bet that public safety and general law were also involved. A lot of other players were involved. I know this was not ideal because it was special session, that there was not the mm-hmm. traditional public process. And that was very frustrating for all of us. And I absolutely think that the public process is critical to good governance. This was a moment that called for action. And it was very different from what we usually do. And
one more thing I want to ask you. I'm so happy that you're on. We're chatting with Jonathan Steinberg. Coming up, we'll chat with Diane Cece of the East Norwalk Neighborhood Association. We'll talk about what's going on there. But I did want to just give you one opportunity to comment on the signs, because I saw this morning on Westport Now these hateful signs that were apparently around town in the weekend. I have to tell you, I've had people send me their own photos of the sign. I personally didn't see them. I guess the police were able to round all of them up by Sunday morning. but they were very troubling to people. Westport Now is reporting that the Westport police now believe they have two people they believe were responsible for them. I think it's critical to know who they are, because otherwise the wrong people might be blamed for putting them forward, or might be assumed to be blamed for putting them forward. I'm beginning to think more than ever we need to get to the bottom of who put these signs out. But do you have a comment about them at all, Jonathan Steinberg? Just curious to hear what
I thought
you
a lot
make
about
of all
it.
Of this.
And it's insufficient to say these are the times we're living in, where public discourse has been degraded, where disinformation is now the rule of the day. It's really very troubling for our democracy. And when these signs went up, I was initially very suspicious of the motivation who would ever do such a thing, particularly in Westport, which cherishes its open-minded values. It doesn't represent our community in the slightest sense. I suspect, I don't know for a fact, that this could even be a hoax, and not the kind of hoax that the president uses when anybody criticizes him. But conceivably, it could be somebody who is eager to foment division in our community, who may not even represent those views, may actually represent the opposite views. It's important that the police get to the bottom of this. But what's most important is that everybody in a position of leadership who's in the public eye, and everybody in our community, calls out this kind of activity as unacceptable, reprehensible, and that, we hope the police can get to the bottom of it. But regardless of that, it's everybody's obligation to try to maintain civility, to try to engage in dialogue, and not simply inflame passions, particularly with these kind of hateful disinformation efforts. It makes me very upset this kind of thing goes on in our community or any community. And it's the times we live in, and we got to change those times, because it's just not right.
Jonathan Steinberg, thank you very much for being on the show. Thank you for your accessibility in general, coming on short notice throughout the pandemic as chair of the Public Health Committee. Good luck in November, and thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure. I wasn't too sleepy after a long night last night, but this is what we do.
Yeah, it is what you do, and thank you for your public service. Jonathan Steinberg on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back with Diane Cece. We'll chat about what's going on in East Norwalk. Stay tuned.